Hello, and welcome. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to use this week's message to teach and inspire you while you listen.
We claim what Shingai just sung, O Lord. Let your Holy Spirit come and take possession of what shall be said and done here today. In the name of Christ, amen. Our series on the Sabbath began with us uttering concerns about events in the last part of 2007. Events trumpeting the Sunday Sabbath, the first day of the week. We shared news items, sermon material, where with sincerity there are those who are saying that the Sunday Sabbath must now be impressed upon humanity, and that the Saturday, seventh day Sabbath no longer has application and meaning, is no longer apropos. Is not Christian. The Christian Sabbath, we read from these proponents, is the first day of the week. We begin to deal with that biblically. We pointed out very clearly that the fourth commandment is not a commandment about worship, but a commandment about holiness. Fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to do what? Keep it holy. And so the issue is not which day to worship on. The issue is God has a holy day, and He chose it Himself. He didn't ask our permission. We were not yet involved. He finished creation and handed Adam and Eve the seventh day Sabbath. Genesis 2, 1 through 3, it's very clear which day was the Sabbath. Then there was only 1 week, only 7 days. We dealt with the issue of the Sabbath in the New Testament because some of these same sincere people believe that yes, they have no debate with the fact that the seventh day is the Sabbath in the Old Testament, but they want to say, Brother McCoy, that between the Old and New Testament, some changes were made, even by Christ, we have been told, and by the apostles. And we searched for it biblically. We could not find it. We could not find it. And we're waiting for anyone else to find it. We discovered from studying the biblical texts, the biblical passages, that the apostles, throughout the book of Acts, St. Paul, throughout the book of Acts, and Jesus, throughout the New Testament, kept holy the seventh day Sabbath. We found that in the Bible. Where did we find it? We found it in the Bible. We even talked about some of the difficult passages that people use seeking to substantiate the change, but they did not hold up. And then we've been talking about in the first service and the second service as well, the Sabbath of the law. See, we discovered that if, Deanne, the Sabbath is going to be changed, you can't just stop there. The Sabbath didn't just pop up in the Bible. The Sabbath came as a part of the Holy Ten Commandment law. Therefore, if you're going to change the Sabbath, you must change the law. It's the fourth of the ten. We found that out, Larry. We could not escape it. Sabbath is not some separate doctrine set apart by itself. It emerges out of the law. So if you're going to change the Sabbath, you must change the law. And as we talk this morning, we ran into a problem there because we found out that when Moses got that law, those 10 tablets, those 10 statements on the 2 tablets, when he got it, he was told in Deuteronomy 10:1-4 to take those tablets and put them in the ark. And we found out that the ark is down here in the most holy section of the sanctuary. We found that out. And that if the law is in the ark, and then we found out that on top of the ark is the mercy seat. So to get to the law, you've got to first get into the most holy place. And then if you can get to the ark, take the lid off. Come on, somebody. But then we ran into a problem there because we found out that God sits on top of the mercy seat. It got real serious this morning. And so we found out then that if you're going to find your way into the sanctuary, get past the courtyard and into the holy and have the nerve to crack the veil to the most holy, then you're faced with the box where God sits. I got to calm down now, but we found that out this morning. I got upset this morning, and it means that if you're going to get to those tablets and change them, you must ask God to get up and get out of the way. That's what we found out this morning. That was this morning. This morning left us just high and dry. But it doesn't change the fact. Doesn't change the fact that tomorrow morning, thousands of sincere Christians will rise on Sunday, the first day of the week, and go to church to worship God. Won't they? Some of you used to do it. Some of you may still be doing it. And God bless you for your sincerity. These people will celebrate the gift of God through Jesus. They will celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus. They believe in the sacrifice of Christ 2,000 years ago for the sins of men. A sacrifice on Calvary just outside the walls of Jerusalem. They believe that. And these same sincere people who will get up tomorrow morning believe that this death of Jesus was for the sins of humanity. And so they will rejoice in salvation tomorrow, believing that the first day, Sunday, is God's Sabbath. They will do that. And some of them don't understand the fuss we're making. What's the issue about a day? And I have said over and over again, Brother Richard, I've said it very calmly. If God doesn't care about the day, I don't care about the day. But he saw fit, Karen, to put in his law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then, bless your soul, he sat on it. Lord, help me this morning. Rested on the Sabbath. So that's my problem. See, that's my problem. It doesn't make any difference to me. Y'all go on any day you want to go. But he said, remember. So if you want to keep every day holy, fine, but there's one you can't forget. Because that day, blessed, holy, and sanctified. And the blessed, holy, and sanctification is in the day. But we still have a problem. These sincere people will be up tomorrow morning. And they can't understand the fuss, and they also have another question. And this is their question. How did so many people get all messed up? Have you heard that question? How can a handful of people, Forrest, be saying the seventh day is the Sabbath when all these sincere people? Haven't you heard that question? I'm disturbed by it. How did it all get messed up? If it's not in the Bible, we've seen that. If it's not in the New Testament, we've seen that. Then how in the world did it all get messed up? Is that not a legitimate question? Would you like for me to answer that question? I'm going to do that anyhow. God has asked me to do today. Let's begin with simple definitions. Let's just start with definitions. See, when you do, I've done your doctoral dissertation. You have to start with a simple question. You have to define your terms. Let's go to those definitions. We ought not take anything for granted. Yeah. First of all, let's see what the dictionary says about Sunday. Let's see if there's any confusion at all. Now, let me ask you a question. And those of you watching this later on, how many of you believe that the dictionary defines words? Yes. And how many of you, when you find a definition to a word in the dictionary, how many of you take time to argue with the dictionary? You assume that the dictionary is what? Because what is its function? To define words. Nobody reads the dictionary and says, well, why is that the definition? That's the definition. So let's see what the definition is for Sunday. Put it up there again. There it is. See it? Read it. Sunday. Up. You folks downstairs now, it's time to be reading the screen. All right, let's go. The first Sunday, the first day of the week. It is observed by most Christian denominations as the day of worship or as the Sabbath. What day did they say Sunday is? The
Saturday.
Put it up there, Saturday. You have to start with your terms. Saturday. Read it. The seventh and the last day of the week. There seems to be... Now you say, Pastor, why are you doing this to us? I mean, we're intelligent people. Why would you offer these definitions? Well, I include them in the presentation because every time I do a series on the true Sabbath, people begin to look for escapes. And one thing I hear is, nobody knows really what day the first day is or the seventh day. Have you heard that one before? And I find that strange when 99% of the time, if the dictionary defines something, we don't argue with it. And 99% of people on this planet, if you ask them what day is the first day of the week, they're going to say Sunday in their language. Seventh day, Saturday, Sabado in their language. So there really is no question about which day is the seventh day, which day is the first day. Well, if there's no question, and the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, finish it, but the
Sabbath
is the
Sabbath
of the
Lord.
It's talking about Saturday, the seventh day of the week. But, Pastor, we understand all that. You hold it now. It's your turn. We understand all of that. How did we get so confused? Daniel 7:25. Go there, please. You're just beating around the bush. Let's get to it. Daniel 7:25. Everybody's Bible ought to be cracked open. If you don't have a Bible, move over next to someone who has a Bible. Punch them in their ribs so their Bible falls over toward you. You can see what the Bible says. See what the Bible says. That's it. Oh, bless you, sis. Somebody find this young lady a Bible here. Deacons, grab some of these Bibles back to the back. That's all right. I love you. No. It's all right. I forget my Bible sometime, too. Daniel 7, verse 25. What's your name, sweetie? What's your name? Shina. Let's welcome Shina to service. Pastor loves you. You didn't have to come here. Pastor loves you for being here. 7:25. Let's read it now. Come on. Daniel 7:25. Well, wait, no, it would help me if I got to the right book. I'm in messing with Shina back there. I'm in Isaiah. Need to be in. Are you in Daniel, Shina? All right, good. She's in Daniel. Pastor needs to get there with her. Daniel 7, verse 25. Now, read this. Look at this. Come on. And he and shall
wear out the saints of the Most High,
and
think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until the time and times, dividing of times. Now, here we have, Dara, a prophetic word. What kind of word? A prediction, Scott, that somebody, will think to change times and laws, and in the process of doing so, shall wear out. Woo-wee! You ought to read that in the Hebrew. Shall stomp on. In the Hebrew, shall stomp on. The saints of the Most High. This is critical. We can't ignore this. Who would dare now notice how the verse is written, my brother. It said, he shall think. That means it'll be in his mind. Doesn't say anything about success. Come on, y'all. Because we know now. You see, when you study the sanctuary, you go to Hebrews 9, verse 11, and verse 22 and 23, you find out that this sanctuary was a pattern of things above. Oh, shoot somebody. It was a pattern of things above. So whatever you see here is up yonder. So if God's sitting on it here, it means that his kingdom and his presence rest on his commandments up there. So to make the real change, you got to do more than slipping this tent down here. You got to go up yonder and ask God to get over and move out of the way so you can change his law. So he shall think. Because he can't get up there. Come on, somebody. He's going to think about it. But the way up yonder is not open to those who do not believe God's word. And when you get up there, you ain't never going to change nothing. You're just going to be glad to get there. I need somebody to say amen right now. Pastor's got to stay calm. I got to give a study this afternoon. Done preach one time already, but I'm riled up by the word of God. It's all down in my bones. So, think. Brother, gonna think about it. Now, change times and laws. Go to Exodus 20, verse 8. Keep your finger in Daniel 7, because we're gonna dwell there. Exodus 20. Yeah. Think to change times and laws. Now, my brother. I wish you read Hebrew, but Pastor's gonna help you. Because in Hebrew, Daniel 7:25 says, he shall think to change the time in the law. Now, there's not but one part of God's law that deals with time. Are y'all enjoying this with me, Bridget? Lord have mercy. Here it is. Remember the Sabbath day. Fourth commandment, keep it holy. What does it say? Sounds like time to me. Sounds like time, Morris. 6 days will you do what? But the... Yeah. There's only one commandment that deals with time. So somebody is going to try, that is think, to change the time in God's law. That's a bad brother. Because we now know where the law is. Who's sitting on it? Can you picture somebody? Excuse me. Lord, creator, and majesty of all. He who winks and suns come into existence. Could you just step aside? I want to make some rearrangements in your holy law. Can you picture that? Whew. Lord have mercy. So who would dare to assert themselves in this matter? Now. Daniel 7. Daniel, see, for verse 25 to say that he shall... Allison, he shall. It means that Daniel 7 has been discussing the he. Because Daniel 7:25 is at the end of the chapter. So who's the he that shall? Daniel 7. Let's go there. I don't know why I keep on going to Isaiah. Nothing in Isaiah is going to help me today. Daniel 7. Here we go. Let's go to the beginning. Now. Team, are you ready up there with them pictures? I don't know what kind of preaching I did before I had all this stuff behind me, but this is wonderful stuff. This is great. Yeah. Virtual preaching. Glad I lived to this day. Now, verse 1, let's read, everybody.
in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a what? And then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Verse 2, everybody. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my night vision. Okay. Now, I need to read it because they'll get after me. I saw in my night vision. This is for the tape. And behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. Okay. Now, verse 3. Read. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. I love biblical language. That means they all different. Verse 4, come on. The first was like a lion. Show the lion. Yeah, come on now. There he is. Oh, that's the wrong beast, y'all. Lion. First pick. There he is. See? Now keep the picture up there now so they can get a feel of it. They got their Bibles. All right, let's go. Come on. The first was like a what? Lion and had eagle's wings. See the big wings up there? Look up. Now look back down. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand up on the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Okay, keep reading. And behold, another beast, second, likened to a bear. There he is. I love this stuff. Read on. And it raised up itself on one side. It had three ribs in the mouth. Can't see him too well, but he does. Three ribs in his mouth. Go ahead. A bit between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Verse 6, keep reading. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. Now be ready for that second picture. There he is, leopard. Read, which had upon the back of it, how many? Four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Dominion. Something going on here. Verse 7, read. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. Lord have mercy. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Damn. Oh, man, this is good. 10 horns. All right, verse 8, come on. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them, what? A little horn, before whom there was what? Three of the first horns plucked up. Look at the detail by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, the Bible is really something. It goes through these four beasts. We'll find out who they are in just a minute. Jewel, four beasts. And then notice, the scene changes. Look at verse 9. Read. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the angel of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody's sitting on the throne. See, in the midst of all these kingdoms flowing, and they are kingdoms, look at verse 17. Verse 17, read it. These great beasts which are for. Okay. So the beasts are kings. Kingdoms. And he unfolds them, Deb. Lion, bear, leopard. Then this terrible, nondescript beast. And by now, Daniel's upset. So God immediately changes the scene, says, Daniel, get your mind off earth. Let me take your mind to heaven. The kingdoms may flow and rule and stamp like beasts, but while that's going on, God is still sitting on his throne. Lord have mercy. Let me pause and shout for a minute. Somebody say hallelujah. Don't worry about what's happening down here. God has not changed. While they're rising and falling and kings are fighting, God sits on his throne, and everything God wants to take place shall take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That must have done Daniel a lot of good. So he paints this scene, but what's going on up there? What's going on up there? Go to verse 10. Read. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, and 10,000 times. What was set? The judgment. Now, if you go to James, verse chapter 1, verses 25 through 27, can't go there with you. It says, we shall be judged by what? The law.
The law. See, while he's revealing who's going to try to change the law, he's revealing you may change it, but I'm going to judge you by it. Isn't that something, Adrian? You may try to change it, but while you're trying to change it, I'm judging you on it. Lord, have mercy. So who is this that would dare? Well, the beasts are kingdoms. And based on the study of history, the time of Daniel's prophecy, the animal symbols are not difficult to interpret. For these symbols were in fact used by certain nations long ago. The lion is the kingdom of Babylon. It was their national symbol. Who's the lion? The bear was the kingdom of Medo-Persia. What kingdom? Bear symbol. The leopard is the kingdom of Greece. Alexander the Great loved the leopard. And the last beast, because we know from history what great kingdom replaced Greece, the last beast is Rome, which all history books agree is the nation which exceeded Greece in domination of the Mediterranean world. So we have here Babylon replaced by Medo-Persia, replaced by Greece, replaced by Rome. You know, this is almost like a mystery novel. The Bible is taking us step by step to find the culprit. Yeah, y'all can sit there calm if you want to. I'm on the tiptoe. Who's the Bible leading me to? Who would dare? See, we got to keep on remembering where that law is. And somebody's thinking about changing what God sits on. Y'all can be calm if you want to. Well, let's keep following the flow. After we have these four beasts, then there comes up this horn. Comes up what?
Horn.
The little horn comes out of the last kingdom. Seeks to change God's law. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21 of Daniel 7. Read it out loud. I beheld and the made war with the and prevailed against them. I'm glad that the passage doesn't stop at verse 21. Yeah. Look at verse 27. Read. And the kingdom, everybody reading, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom of the whole heavens shall be given to the. So the wearing out, Cheryl, is just for a little while. The same folks that get worn out are going to be given the kingdom. How come you're sitting there so calm? The Bible is telling you you may have trouble today. It may seem impossible today, but just hang on. Just keep your hand in Christ's hand, because the day comes when God himself shall make a change in things, and those at the bottom shall rise to the top. Trouble don't last always. You got to remember that. Cancer may come, but cancer goes. People may die, but people in Christ are resurrected. So, Daniel 7 is unfolding this fella who thinks. But we done jumped to the end of the book, so we know he don't win. Let's keep on finding out who he is. He comes out of this old Roman Empire, and three of the powers that come out of the ten horns, three of these ten horns are replaced. Now, we all know from history, this is history now, that when Rome broke apart, it broke apart into how many parts? Ten. Everybody knows that. Ten. Ten. Ten parts. And then here comes this power, replaces three. Well, if you read your history book, it makes it very clear, Larry, what happened. As the Roman Empire began to fall apart, certain bishops in the Christian church began to rise to prominence.
And one of those was the Bishop of Rome. The Bishop of who?
Rome.
Toward the end of the Roman Empire, there was a controversy called Arianism. Arianism was the teaching that Jesus was a created being. And there were three of the tribes, the Heruli, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths, who believed in Arianism. The Bishop of Rome was so influential, he was able to get the Roman Emperor Justinian to war against these three nations and to subdue them. And then, because of the power vacuum created, the Bishop of Rome became himself the leading spokesman for the church. Put my picture up here of the horns. Give me them horns. Give me them horns. Somebody pray that some horns come up here on that screen. There they are. Yeah. Came up. Now notice this horn. Go back to Daniel 7. Verse 19. Daniel's tracing this thing, Karen, with the Holy Ghost. Read it. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. I want to know that, says Daniel. Verse 20, what else does he want to know? And of the 10 horns that were in his head. And of the other, that one horn, which came up before whom three fell. Even of that horn that had what? And of that did what? Whose look was more? And that's the one who makes war on the saints. That's the one who makes war on the saints. And that's the one, when you read on down through it to verse 25, that's the one who speaks great words against the Most High and thinks to change time and laws. Now, if you're watching tape, you're saying, this Seventh-day Adventist pastor is crazy. How can he make such accusations against a particular church? Well, you see, it becomes very easy because they claim it. I don't have to accuse. They claim it. Let's put these statements up there. They claim it. Ready for the statements now. All the stuff on page 4 in green. Here we go. Ready? Can you see it? Now, from this point forward, no preaching. Because I'm not interested in offending anybody. The Bible predicts somebody would try to change. The Bible narrows that person or organization to a power that comes out of the broken Roman Empire. And the Bible says the power that you're looking for replaces three of the horns. This is all history. And says that power would seek to change God's law. I could not make any accusation against anyone at all. If there was no historical data, I couldn't do this. So the power then steps up and says, let's read. Everybody, the Roman Catholic Church reversed the fourth commandment by doing away with the Sabbath of God's Word and instituting Sunday as a holy day. History of the Christian Church by Summerall. He's not a Seventh-day Adventist. He's not a Seventh-day Baptist. He's not a Seventh-day Pentecostal. He's an agnostic historian. He's just writing what happened. Let's go to the next. Read. They, the Catholics, allege the change of the Sabbath into the Lord's Day, contrary as it seemeth to the Decalogue. They will needs have the church's power to be very great, because it hath dispensed with the precept of the Decalogue. The Augsburg Confession, written by Lutheran, says, if in fact this change is made, then the church is very powerful because it means changing the law. Let's keep reading. Start again. And where we told in the scriptures that we're to keep the first day at all, we are commanded to keep the seventh. But we are nowhere commanded to keep the first day. The reasons why we keep the first day of the week holy instead of the seventh is for the same reason that we observe many other things. Not because of the Bible, but because the church has enjoined it. Simple statement written in the catechism saying we do this not because of the, but because the says we ought to do it. Go to the next one. Read, the Pope is of so great authority and power that he can modify, explain, or interpret divine laws. The Pope can modify divine law.
I can't. What did you just read there?
Excuse me. Seems like I read a text over an Acts that says, you ought to obey
God
rather than... Folk, this is the dilemma that many sincere people have. And let me say this, particularly to my Catholic friends. I will give your church credit for this. You are the most honest about the Sabbath of any Christian church. The Protestants are still trying to fumble around and find some Bible text. The Catholic Church wastes no time with any Bible text. And I respect the Catholic Church for that. They are historically honest and correct. We did it. Let's keep going. Pope Pius V, 1556, read, it pleased the Church of God that the religious celebration of the Sabbath day should be transferred to the Lord's Day. Let's keep reading. Read, the Catholic Church, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. The Catholic mirror. Who says they did it? The Catholic Church. They say they did it. The Bible predicted somebody would think to do it. Let's keep going. Oh, that's it? Oh, I thought we had another one. Three. Is Saturday the seventh day according to the Bible and the Ten Commandments? I answer, yes. Is Sunday the first day of the week? And did the church change the seventh day, Saturday for Sunday, the first day? I answer, yes. Did Christ change the day? I answer, no. From a cardinal in the Catholic Church. Now I could multiply statements. The Catholic Church is not shy on this issue. They're very clear. It's generally accepted that the first Sunday law was passed in 321 AD by Constantine. The official council for the Church of Rome sought to change the solemnity, that's their words, was the Council of Nicaea. Say that. Say it again. The exact date is not known, but it took place somewhere between 343 and 381 AD. How thoroughly did the church implement the change? Let's go to our last slides. How thoroughly did they do it? See, remember, young lady, if you're going to change the day, Pastor keeps saying, you have to change the law. Did you hear me say that today? Say it out loud. If you're going to change the day, you have to
change the law.
All right, put my slide up there. Here you have two versions of the Ten Commandments. The one found in the King James Version, the one found in the Catholic Bible, the Douay Version. Give me a close-up. Next slide. Go to the other one first. Yeah. Here you go. In the Catholic Bible, Commandment 1, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other strange gods before me. Commandment 2 in the Catholic Bible reads how? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, just a minute here. We have a major change in the law. Because in the KJV, the Second Commandment says, thou shalt not make unto me any graven images. We won't get into discussions as to why they took that one out. It's very obvious. Now, this is their Bible. Let's keep going. Commandment 3, what do they have? Remember, thou keep holy the Sabbath day. That's all it says in the Catholic Bible. The part about for the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Are there any former Catholics in this congregation? Raise your hand. Am I telling the truth? Okay. In their Bible, they've made the fourth commandment the third. They've taken out the second. If you read all the way through, they've made the tenth commandment two commandments. He shall think to change the time in the law. All of this effort just to get rid of one commandment. Now, thank you, Jesus. You can rewrite this till you're a polka dot in the face. But that law in Exodus 20 was written in stone. Somebody talked to me this morning. Stone, rock, rock, rock. And then to make sure nobody messed with it, he said, give me this thing and put it beneath me. He must have saw something coming. He must have known that somebody had something in mind. He said, let me have it, Moses. I'm going to put it where they can't get to it. Or if they try, they got to go by me. I'm going to sit on it. Whoo. Lord have mercy. I'm going to rest myself on it. The holy mighty God will put himself on that law. Now, if you can think about it, go on and think. But to change it, you got to get to them tablets. And those tablets are my chair. Isn't that something, Charles John? That's a bad brother. The one we call God, that's a bad brother. Talk about it all you want. Discuss it. Make plans about it. But if you're going to make permanent changes in it, you got to get by me. Lord have mercy. Walk up into the most holy of holies, where God sits on his throne, and say, I got a thought. What's your thought? I think the commandments ought to be changed. You got a problem. Think all you want. You know, I love that scene in the Ten Commandments. Ain't the one you think I'm thinking about. It's where Pharaoh writes his law and he says, what I have written, I have written. I know a brother better than that. I know a God who declares what I've written, and I have no mind. So Jesus said while on earth, same words, think not. Yes. Daniel 7, somebody's thinking. In Matthew, Jesus says, don't think. Hallelujah! 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 What I have written, I have written. And so the Bible says, Acts 17:30. Got to wind this thing up now. Pastor preach on this all day long. Acts 17:30. Don't tell me to go ahead now. Because somebody's still concerned, Larry. I've got somebody now watching the DVD who's concerned. What about my mama? What about my papa? What about my grandmother who went to sleep keeping the first day of the week thinking it was the right thing? Well, the Lord God is a God of salvation. And so he says in Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance God winks at, if you didn't know any better and you did the best you knew, God says, I got a salvation plan for you. I read in a little book called Early Writing somewhere, when they start going to glory, they're going to take a trip. And they're going to pause while they're on the way up there. Stop at some planet somewhere. I read it with my own eyes. And everybody's going to keep the Sabbath before they go in. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, if you don't know, do the best you know. I like James 4:17. It's clear, isn't it? It says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Now, you done watched the whole tape now. To him that knoweth. If you got this far on the DVD, pastor's heart is full of love and prayer. love and prayer. And so God says, that's enough preaching, folk. God says, let me write it in your heart. In the meantime, the law is safe. It couldn't be safer if it was in Fort Knox. It's safer than that. Nobody can sneak in on him, because the Psalms told me he never sleeps. He never slumbers. Ha! You can't catch him off guard. Nodding in the daytime. He's got suns to keep burning. He's got Henry Wright to keep breathing. He's got sins to forgive. Have no time to sleep. So whenever you show up to change it, you got to get by me. He's protecting that law. Not all he's doing. Deborah's taking that law and he wrote it in your heart. Bless your heart. I baptized that girl. Wrote it in her heart. Took it off the stone. And is it in your heart? I said, is it in your heart? Is that law in your heart? Your eyes are closed. Your head is bowed. We got to take a stand. And this precious group is going to sing for me that old hymn. I will follow thee, my Savior. Think about the words as they sing.
I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoever my lot may be.
Thank you, Lord.
Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my
second verse. Just wait now. I love the power of truth. Truth has a convicting power. A convicting power. And so, my friend, whoever you are, wherever you are who are watching this, your battle is no longer with a Seventh-day Adventist pastor in a church in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody, a sinner saved by grace. You must contend with the Word of God. And I invite you in your kitchen, in your car, in your job, in the privacy of your den, wherever you receive this word and this truth is not a part of your life, I invite you to consider it. To consider it. Give me a call. 703-548-5998. I'd like to talk to you personally about what you're learning in this great truth about the seventh-day Sabbath. To those of you sitting here, I don't know where your journey is in life. Maybe a friend of yours invited you out to hear this message, and you're a little disturbed. But you'd like to know more. You'd like to know more. So that's my first appeal. I'm not trying to put you on the spot now. You just like for us to send you some information about the seventh-day Sabbath. If that's your case, just get up and walk down here. Pastor Smith will get your name. You want more information. Not ready to join anything today, not ready to make any decision. You just want more information. Just come. Or if that's uncomfortable, just raise your hand. And Smith, you'll have to walk and get their name. Clerk will help you. Just raise your hand. Somebody downstairs who's watching, a deacon, an elder, somebody raises their hand, just get their name. We'd be glad to send them information. Just more information. Now let's get to the basics. You'd like to make a decision today for Jesus Christ as your Savior and embrace all that the book teaches, including the seventh-day Sabbath. Maybe you've been taking Bible studies. You've been thinking about moving forward. You've sat in service after service, but you've never moved forward. Your coming forward will say, one, I'd like to take Bible studies. Two, I'm ready. I've taken Bible studies. Three, I'd like to transfer my membership to this church. If you fit into one of those categories, just rise now and you come. You come. Church, you know what your job is. You're praying. You're not looking around. You're praying. Who's going to come? Who's going to come? Please, 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 please come. Move in this direction. God bless you.
And I'll gladly follow thee. I will follow thee.
Come on.
My Savior.
You have to be here.
Thou didst shed
somewhere you have to be here.
Thy blood for me.
You can come from downstairs as she did from the balcony. From a back room. Church, you're praying. Just pray. Just pray. You now are an ally of the Holy Spirit. Just pray. Who will come next? Come on, friend. It's an honor to wait for you. It's an honor to wait for you to come. I'm privileged to extend my hand to you if you'll just get up and come. Another one from downstairs. God bless you, young lady. Let the church say amen. Who else will come? There are others. There are others. There are others. You're here. You're trying to work things out on your seat. Never works that way. Have to take a stand first. Then things start working out. Young, old, boy, girl, man, woman. Oh, it's such a privilege to stand and ask you to come to Jesus Christ. Just keep praying, church. Jesus waited on you. Now you be patient while he waits on others. Oh. Two others came. Praise God. Thank you, church, for praying. I'm going to say my prayer out loud. You can slip up quietly. You can slip up quietly while I pray this prayer. Father, I feel so much better now about your holy Ten Commandments. They're in good hands. They're in your hands. Thank you for being a God who does not change his mind on principle. There are many people who find this truth disturbing, Lord, your spirit. And I'm not that good at presenting it. I really am not. So you have to take, Lord, and just patch it up, fix it up, arrow it towards some heart, and help them to say yes. Help them to say yes. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. Thank you for these precious ones who've come today. And thank you for giving us, who already know this, fresh confidence that we have a sure word of prophecy. We leave here feeling good. The truth is the truth anyhow. Thank you, Jesus. And all the people said, amen. That's right, sweetie. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today? It's a strong word from the Lord, wasn't it? Woo! My. Stuff wears me out. Lord, have mercy.
If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and check back next week for another message. Thank you for visiting with us. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.